You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening, and welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. Good to see you here. I'm not coming through, am I? Up there I am, but there's nothing in here. I'm not coming through the PA in here, right? Or you can't hear. Oh, there we go. There I am. All right. Let's try this again. Good evening. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. This weekend we celebrate a special day, and that would be the day of Pentecost. We're going to hear a lot more about Pentecost, the holiday, what it was, its roots, and its significance, not just for believers in Bible times, but its significance for us today. We're going to focus on that account in the sermon today. To guide our worship, we will be following setting 3, which begins on page 188 in the front of your hymnal. At some point this evening, if you could, please do sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book found in every row of pews. Thank you for doing that. And we'll begin then with our first hymn, hymn 590, O Holy Spirit, Enter In. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertl will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Acts 2, 1 through 21. Our congregation will open up the service by singing hymn number 590 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, O Holy Spirit, Enter In. Hymn number 590.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. And let us pray. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith, we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. First reading chosen for this Pentecost Sunday is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. This is Ezekiel's vision of a valley of bones, dry bones. And here in this vision, God demonstrates his power to bring to life that which seems to be deader than dead. This is also a very fitting metaphor, and as a matter of fact, we're going to hear in these words prophecy, in other words, God's word being spoken, and a wind, which in Hebrew and in Greek is the same word for spirit. And what does that wind, what does that spirit do? It brings life into those old dry bones. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." And this is the word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 104. You can find the music for that in the Grace Psalter book on page 551.
Thank you.
Our second reading is recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This is the account of what happened on the day of Pentecost, and this is going to be the basis for the sermon today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and John chapter 16, verses 4 through 11. Jesus said, "When the advocate comes," and he's talking about the Holy Spirit there, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, "Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord," hymn 585.
The congregation at St. John's in Baraboo, Wisconsin will now sing hymn number 585 from the Christian worship hymnal, "Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord," hymn 585.
Oh, your grace is beyond all.
grace and mercy and peace, these things are yours in abundance from God, our Father, through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and delivered to you by God, the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, if I were to take a poll, not just of us here right now, but I think just about anybody in general, if I were to walk down the street and take a poll and ask what the top three major holidays that we celebrate throughout a year are, which ones do you think would be the most common answers? I would submit they would be Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. Those are kind of the big tentpole holidays throughout the course of the year, right? That's when families get together and have a big meal and a celebration, and maybe on a couple of those occasions, gifts get exchanged, or in the case of Thanksgiving, a nap gets taken. Kind of like we have a calendar of holidays and festivals that we observe and that we celebrate throughout the course of the year, God actually established a calendar of holidays for his Old Testament people, Israel. There were seven of them, but three of them are considered the major festivals, the major holidays, because those were the ones that required people to actually make a pilgrimage to the tabernacle and later to the temple. There was the festival of unleavened bread, and that culminated with the celebration of the Passover. There was the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrated how God had come to dwell with his people. Remember how, as they were on their way from Egypt to the Promised Land, that cloud of God's glory actually came down and dwelled in the tabernacle among his people. So that was to celebrate that. And that festival also kind of was an anticipation of God coming to his people and dwelling with them in the coming of the Messiah. And then there was the third one. And it was called the Festival of Weeks. And the Festival of Weeks, much like Thanksgiving, was a harvest festival. In the Holy Land, they have they don't have four seasons so much. They have the wet season and the dry season. So the rainy season would last roughly from October through February-ish. And that is the time during which the grain crops would grow. Then roughly at the beginning of March, the first full moon of that month would mark the Passover festival. You can read in Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 16 that after the Sabbath of the Passover festival, God had commanded his people to count seven full weeks from after the Sabbath of the Passover festival. 7 weeks. Those 7 weeks were considered the harvest season. And when this harvest started, God had given the command that when they gather the first sheaf of grain off of the fields, they were to set it aside as a first fruits offering. Now it's time to connect that Old Testament stuff that sometimes our eyes gloss over when we think about it because it just seems like a bunch of random information. But we're going to connect that with New Testament reality here. Jesus died for the sins of the world on the Friday right before the Passover Sabbath. His body took its Sabbath rest in the grave on the Passover Sabbath. And then what happens the day after the Passover Sabbath? He rises from the dead. When the first fruits would be gathered. And do you know what Jesus is called by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15? The chapter in which Paul is describing the resurrection and explaining how Jesus has been raised from the dead, he calls Jesus the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. One could say that Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning of the harvest season, because there is a whole harvest yet to take place. Enter the festival of weeks. God said in Leviticus 23, verse 16, count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So 7 weeks after that Passover Sabbath, and then one more. And present an offering of new grain to the Lord. So that's when the people were to take that new grain that they had harvested and offer that as a thank offering to God. So quick math, 7 weeks of 7 days equals 49, right? Add one more to that. On the 50th day, when the harvest was completed, God directed his people to have a celebration and give offerings from the harvest that he had provided. That's why it's called in Greek Pentecost, from the Greek word 50th. After Jesus' resurrection, God turns this harvest festival from being a celebration of harvesting grain and full barns, from being a celebration of barns full of grain to being a celebration of souls being full of faith. Yes, Pentecost is now about a harvest of souls. So here it was, Acts chapter 2. It's the 50th day after the first fruits, Jesus has risen from the dead. And because this was one of the three holidays that required Jews to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, there were all sorts of people in Jerusalem, kind of like there had been for the Passover too, when Jesus suffered and died, when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. God's timing is intentional. Acts chapter 2 tells us they were all together in one place. Who's the they? Well, if you look earlier in Acts, if you look in Acts chapter 1, you see that there were about 120 followers of Jesus who were getting together in Jerusalem. It had been 10 days since Jesus had ascended into heaven. And he had given his disciples the order, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift that I'm going to send. And lo and behold, it's 10 days after that, the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus keeps his word. It's two extraordinary things happening. First of all, there was this sound of a violent rushing wind. I mean, think of a huge wind gust, not like your gentle summer breeze, but that violent wind of a storm that sounds like a freight train. That kind of a sound of a rushing wind. But it's coming out of nowhere, it seems. It's coming out of heaven. And it's loud enough that people in the area hear it, and they're wondering, what on earth is going on? And so they go to where the sound came from to investigate. And what do they see when they get there? They see some disciples of Jesus with what looks to be tongues of fire on their heads. And the wonders don't stop there. Pardon me, sorry. These men with the fire resting on their heads don't just have that visual going on. There's something audible as well. They're speaking in different tongues, in different languages. And no, this wasn't the senseless babble or the results of popping the top on some new wineskins at 9 in the morning. This was men suddenly being able to speak in a different language that they had never known before. And we're not talking about just basic phrases like, what's your name or where's the bathroom? They're speaking these languages like it's their native language, fluently. Like you and I speak English. And how do we know they're speaking them that well? Well, listen to the commentary that was given. People from those areas that were listed here in Acts 2 are saying, They're speaking our languages. Extraordinary things, miracles. But dear Christians, God doesn't do miracles just for the sake of doing miracles. We don't want to think of him as some kind of street performer who's just going for some oohs and ahs from the crowd. Whenever God does a miracle, he's saying, hey, pay attention. There's something important going on here. For example, Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? And he doesn't do that just to fill up some tummies for its own sake. He doesn't do that just to perform some kind of magic trick. He did it because he had a message to proclaim that he wanted the people to listen to. And actually, he got a lot of mileage out of that miracle because he used that a whole bunch after that miracle to talk about how he is the bread of life. Jesus healed the paralyzed man. Remember the guy who was lowered on the mat by his friends through the roof so he could be in front of Jesus? Jesus healed that man not just so that he could have the ability to walk all of a sudden, but so that he could show that, yes, he had the authority to forgive sins, because there were people questioning that at the time. So here too, the miracles have a larger purpose. What purpose? Well, we'll let the people who heard the disciples of Jesus speaking in their own languages explain. We hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God. Think of how attention-getting that must have been for those people. All of a sudden, a bunch of these backwater Galileans are foreign language mavens, experts. They're listening, they're paying attention, because this is extraordinary. And what are they hearing about? The wonderful works of God. That is God's purpose, so that what he has done would be known better and known by more. That wasn't quite apparent to the people there yet. The crowds were all wondering. They were asking, okay, what does all this mean? And that's when you see Peter get up. You remember Peter, Mr. Impulsive Disciple? Peter, Mr. Impulsive Disciple, who sometimes had a habit of writing checks with his mouth that his actions could not cash. Peter, Mr. Timid Disciple, who when he was associated with Jesus on that Maundy Thursday night when Jesus was on trial, said, no, I don't know him. Peter, Mr. Afraid Disciple, who was locked with the rest of the disciples on the day of Jesus' resurrection in some room. What do we see him doing now? We see him getting up in front of a crowd of thousands and speaking boldly. And to explain what all of this meant, Peter quotes from the prophet Joel. This imagery that Joel has in those verses that we heard before of blood and fire and billows of smoke, what's that all about? Well, that imagery there would have hearkened the people who heard it, the Jews who heard it, to the imagery of what? God at Mount Sinai. Because there God came down to Mount Sinai with fire, with smoke. And yes, there was a sacrifice of blood to ratify the covenant that God had just made. And what do we see happening there? There's just one prophet, Moses. He and he alone can go up to God to commune with God and then bring God's message back down to the people. That's it. Anybody else tried to go up and commune with God, they died. But as Joel prophesied, there was coming a day. There was coming a time when God would pour out his Holy Spirit on all sorts of people, when you wouldn't need a Moses, because you would have sons and daughters speaking God's word. You would have young men and old men receiving the message of what God's will is. You wouldn't have just one messenger of the wonderful works of God. You would have many messengers of the wonderful works of God. And it was going to be their job to take that wonderful message of the wonderful works of God to people who hadn't known it. With this promise attached to that message. everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the message God wanted delivered. Everyone who calls on his name, who looks to him for salvation, will have it. Why? Because he had sent his own son into the world to accomplish it all, to live the holy life, to die the innocent death, to rise victoriously over the grave, to ascend into heaven, to prepare a place for all of God's people. And that salvation in Jesus is received through faith, and that faith is kindled and lit aflame and fanned into flame by the Holy Spirit working through that message about Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's his greatest pleasure and joy, to point you and me, sinners, to the cross of Christ where we have salvation. That Christ would be known and glorified and believed. So what does this all mean for you? What does it mean for St. John's in Baraboo? I mean, we really haven't heard any sounds of violent rushing winds today, have we? At least not since church started, haven't heard anything. I'm not seeing any flickering tongues of fire over any heads this morning. And if we did, we'd probably get out some fire extinguishers, right? Not hearing anybody speaking Auf Deutsch or in Espanol, who hasn't already studied them. Is Pentecost just the story about how God established his church in a pretty cool, extraordinary way in Jerusalem? No. Because the same Holy Spirit who was so visibly, so audibly, so abundantly, so powerfully poured out on the disciples is still at work today. Nothing has changed with his MO. He still is the one who lights the fire of faith in Jesus in the hearts of people. Or to borrow the imagery of our Old Testament reading, he is still the one who breathes spiritual life into souls who would otherwise be like those dry bones, quite spiritually dead. Yes, when the words of God are read, are spoken, are sung, are thought about, are meditated upon, are digested, there the Holy Spirit is at work with all of his wonderful power, doing what he does, showing sinners their salvation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What if we always remembered that? What if we always remembered that the same Spirit who worked so powerfully that in one day, on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were brought to faith in one day? What if we remembered always that the same Holy Spirit who did that is still at work through us and in us today? What if we always remembered that the same Holy Spirit who can make an army of the living out of a valley full of dead, dry bones is the same Spirit who is at work through God's Word in us and through us today? What if we always remembered that the same Spirit who changed a timid disciple who was scared for his own life into a fearless apostle willing to die for the sake of proclaiming Christ is the same Spirit who is working in us and through us through his word today? Would we be so fearful, so anxious? Would we fret so much about an unknown future? So maybe today we consider this the reminder that we all need every day. I know I need it every day. Because, dear Christians, the harvest is plentiful. And it's not just pastors, it's not just teachers who are to be the workers. It's all of us together. You have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, living in your heart through faith in Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit using His divine power on you. When you hear the message of salvation in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, at work through you, through your words, through your actions, to accomplish what God wants. A harvest of souls. So with that confidence, let's get to work. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. To confess our Christian faith, having heard God's word, we're going to use the third article of the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation to it. It's up on the screen for you. We join together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And the congregation may be seated. We bow our heads in prayer. Blessed and gracious Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, you proceed from the Father and the Son, and together with them we worship and glorify you. On this holy day, so soon after our Lord ascended to his throne in glory, you descended among his joyful followers with your holy wind and igniting fire. You opened their eyes to see the clarity and completeness of the good news, just as Jesus had promised you would. You ratified their ministry in the sight of the nations and conferred on them gifts and courage to be witnesses to the ends of the earth, just as Jesus called them to be. Pour out your power on us again, dear Spirit, and ignite our minds and our hearts to find our purpose in proclaiming the message of Christ. When success seems scarce, console us with the gentle, quiet whisper of your word. When some will listen, open our lips to speak the truth in love. When enemies attack, defend us not with the edge of a sword, but with the power of the gospel. What we pray for ourselves, we pray for your whole church, and especially for those who go in our stead to many places around the world. Guide us deeper every day into the mysteries of Christ and enlarge our grasp of his will and ways. Provide insights to those who teach your word to others, that they may expound your truth carefully and precisely. Bless our schools as they prepare men and women to preach, teach, and model your love. Breathe into our hearts, breathe into the hearts of those enduring serious afflictions, stubborn pain, and wrenching doubt, and renew them with your power. Instill your sweet comfort in those who grieve and mourn. And we ask your blessing especially upon baby Willow Grace Middle, who seems to be coming into this world very soon. Lord, we ask that you would give to child and to mother a successful and safe delivery. And ultimately, we ask, Lord, that your good and gracious will would be done. According to your design, grant us another Pentecostal harvest, that multitudes from every nation, tribe, and people may join the assembly of the church to worship you and give you glory. Yes, come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of your people, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, to please feel free to leave that in the alms box in the back. And with that, we will continue with the sacrament. That's on page 199 in the front of the hymnal. Will the congregation please stand?
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day kept his promise and poured out the Holy Spirit to empower his church to proclaim the gospel in all the world. And therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, Lord God, eternal King and gracious Father. In love you made us the crown of your creation. In mercy you planned our salvation. In grace you sent your Son to redeem us from sin. We remember and give you thanks that your eternal Son, Jesus Christ, became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that he willingly placed himself under the law to redeem those under law, that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death on a cross, that he has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood in this sacrament. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, strengthen our fellowship, and deepen our longing for the day when Christ will welcome us to his eternal feast. Praise and thanks and honor and glory be to you, O God our Father, and to your Son and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Thank you. invite the communion confirmed members of St. John's and our sister Wells and the Elect Churches. Please come forward at the direction of the usher. All things are ready.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street of Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television producer today is Don Harmon, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Stand for the Thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through Him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.